Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And original Christianity is based solely on the truth of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Everything in the Bible flows from Abraham all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. Not many people understand that. And many Christian denominations, in fact most, say that the Old Testament has been fulfilled, we don't need to read it. Or that the law has been done away. Think about this for a minute. How would you like God to suspend the law of gravity? Do away with it. And everything would float around, and you, all life would float around, leave the earth, and die in space. You say, what a preposterous thing. Well, it would be. Do you know how multiple times preposterous it is for people to say that the law has been done away? The law was only for the Jews. Christians do not need to keep the commandments of God. Christians do not need to keep the holy days of God in the Bible. Now, I want you to stop and think for just a minute. It does not matter who the man is, how nice he may appear, how friendly and superficially good his behavior is. The Bible tells us that we are to judge all things, prove all things, and when it comes to the Word of God, if they do not speak according to the law and the testimony, that's Old and New Testaments, there is no light in them. Now, you think about that for a minute. Now, we've been going through a series of segments on the Passover and unleavened bread, and what we're doing is covering the holy days of God in the Bible in the Old Testament. Then we will cover them, the holy days of God, in the New Testament. Now, most people don't even realize this. Let's come to Genesis, the first chapter. God created into the universe and into the laws of timing for the earth his holy days. Let's come to Genesis, the first chapter, on the fourth day. God explains what he did. Do you not agree that God is the author of time? Did he not create the universe, the sun, moon, and stars, the earth, and everything that goes with it? Yes. Did he not create day and night, sunrise, sunset? Yes. Did he not set it in motion according to specific mathematical sequences? Yes. As a matter of fact, all the laws of the universe function automatically, don't they? All the laws on earth function automatically, don't they? Relationship to air and water and food and clothing, law of gravity, building things, making things, reproduction of life, plant, animal, and human, all function according to laws that God has created. And every scientist, isn't it interesting that the scientists who work with the very laws of God deny him and believe in evolution? Now, we have just published a new booklet called God or No God by Duncan MacLeod. And in it, he shows the foolishness, absolute blindness, God-defying, law-rejecting, attitude of those who believe we evolve. Did not happen. God is God, and he is the one who tells mankind what to do. But he's given us free moral agency. He's given us his word. He's given us his laws. He's given us his way of keeping time. And it's not the way that time is kept by the calendar that you see on your wall or on your cell phone or on your wrist. As a matter of fact, those times have been changed, and if you will look at your cell phone, the first day of the week is listed as Monday, when it's the second day of the week. And that fulfills a prophecy in the book of Daniel, that the religious system of this world would think to change times and laws, and that means also days of worship, contrary to what God has created. So here in Genesis 1 and verse 14, we read, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide between the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." God set in motion time. His time is the correct time for the Sabbath and holy days of God. These are appointed times. Now, we also have another new publication, which will take a little concentration for you to read. It is called The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. And once you read that, you are going to find that you have absolutely no excuse, nor does any so-called Christian religion, Judaism, atheism, because everything that God has done in the ministry of Christ in his first coming and all the events leading up to his second coming are all determined by the appointed times. And guess what those are? Those are the holy days of God. And isn't it profound that the thing that would help people understand the truth, would know what God is doing, would know what God expects of them, would know what God has done in the past, how and when he has done it, what he is going to do with prophecy, and how and when the events are going to be unfold, that the entire framework of that is centered around the Sabbath and holy days of God, the very thing that all of the so-called Christian religions of this world reject. When you reject something, since the laws are all automatic, all the spiritual laws in relationship to God, when anyone rejects something, they automatically blind their eyes and close their ears. Some have a little narrow perspective, much like a horse pulling a carriage with a bridle and a halter. And on the sides of the halter are blinders to keep the horse calm so he won't see things to the side and behind. And that's how many people are. And that fulfills the promise that Jesus said, and they'll both fall into the ditch. Have you fallen into a religious ditch? Have you fallen into a no-end, no-understanding, just lackadaisical religion, so-called Christianity? Well, if you have, then you need our book, Lord, What Should I Do? And you need to understand the times in which we are living, what is happening in the Christian world, and why. Now, no one wants to go down with a sinking ship, do you? Well, you better check the ship that you are on. So this is why we're doing this series of the Passover and unleavened bread and all the other holy days of God in the Bible. Now, one of the arguments that those who are blind come up with and say, they say, well, there was no law from Adam until Moses. You gotta be kidding. How could God judge the world worthy of a flood because of their wickedness and evil if there was no law of God known to them? Have you accepted that lie? Do you understand how ignorant that really is? Another argument that they use is, well, all of these days were for rituals only. Well, as we have seen concerning the Sabbath, that can't be true, because God created the seventh day Sabbath on the seventh day of the first week by blessing it and sanctifying and putting his presence in it. And that's a perpetual living law. Everything concerning God's way of keeping time falls into the seven-day pattern that God has created. Now, men like to change, manipulate, and lie about the Word of God. They have all kinds of supposed reasons for keeping Sunday. And as we saw, Christmas and Easter and New Year's and all of that. All of these have been accepted and substituted for the laws and commandments of God based on various arguments. Now let's look at one of those arguments. They said that God has created the holy days strictly as ritual and sacrificial days. Is that true? In Genesis, the first chapter, where are the rituals? Where are the sacrifices? Not so. The days were created first. Now let's look at some things which tells us, very importantly, how God views the holy days. Now let's come here to Exodus 23. God gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Chapter 21, 22, and 23, then he gives other laws that relate to the Ten Commandments. And if you read it very thoroughly, and I recommend that you study it, you're going to find that the Ten Commandments are mentioned and mixed in with other commandments as well. Exodus 23 and verse 12. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your handmaid and the stranger may be rejuvenated. Fourth commandment, right? Yes, indeed. Verse 13, be watchful in all that I have said to you. All, not part. See, God didn't come and say, now, I've given this law for you, but, you know, if you desire to get rid of some of it, that's all right with me. I'll go along with it. He didn't say that, did he? No. Now notice the next verse. This has to do with the second commandment. Be watchful in all I have said to you, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of your mouth. All right? Notice what comes next, because I want you to understand the equality of importance with the commandments concerning the holy days and the festivals of God in the Old Testament as compared to the Ten Commandments. Because a lot of people like to come along and say, well, we'll keep the Ten Commandments. And then recently a judge has come along and said, well, you know what the school ought to do? Now, they've got this wall in the school where they have Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, the Ten Commandments. And what they ought to do is reduce the Ten Commandments to six. And that is so that we get rid of God. See, we're so knowledgeable and important, and we want to be so politically correct that we want to take God out of everything that is done in our lives. However, God is involved in everything that is done in everyone's life, everywhere, all the time, because He made every human being. And He gave life. So He's involved. So you can't get rid of Him. That is the most ignorant, stupid, satanic, blinding thing that anyone could conceive of. Now let's read on and see where God equates the feast and holy days right along with the Ten Commandments. You can't put it all in one place. So you have the main Ten Commandments given, and then you have expounding of the Ten Commandments. But what God wants you to do is understand that these are as important as, or maybe more important than, the Ten Commandments. Let's read it. Verse 14, Exodus 23. You shall keep a feast unto me 3 times in a year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. We've been covering that. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I have commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. Now, the month of Abib is the first month of the year on the calculated Hebrew calendar, the sacred calendar of God. Notice, the appointed time. That goes right back to Genesis 1:14. And this also goes back to the covenant that God made with Abraham. You see, contrary to what most people think and believe, the Bible has knowledge upon knowledge upon knowledge, precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line upon line, here a little, there a little, and inspired by the eternal mind of God. It is fantastic and is to be studied all our life long, and every single day of our lives we learn more out of the Bible because there's so much in it. Now, since there is an adversary, Satan the devil, and he doesn't want you to have anything to do with God, he's going to come along and bring in substitutes and say, well, isn't this nice to do? Time appointed. For in it you came out of Egypt, and no one shall appear before me empty. Also on the feast of the harvest of first fruits of your labor, called Pentecost, we'll cover this a little later, which you have sown in the field, the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you've gathered in all your labors out of the field. Now then, that includes trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, and the last great day. Equated equally with the Ten Commandments. Now, let's come forward and let's see, how do you return to God? God says, return to me, and I will return to you. God says, seek me, and you can find me. God says, forsake your thoughts, and begin to understand God's thoughts. So we're going to see, because we've covered how the children of Israel would believe God for a while, keep His laws and commandments, God would bless them, another generation would arise, and they would go after Baal and Ashtaroth. Now Baal is the sun god. Ashtaroth is the female goddess. Do we have that today in the so-called Virgin Mary? Yes, we do. Do you know where those things originated? Well, go right online and download The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. We have it right there for you. It's available. Now, I'm bringing up all of these things so that you can understand that what you have been taught by those whom you have trusted, by those whom you have been told you need to believe and obey, that they have not taught you the word of God. They have not taught you the truth. So now, you have a decision on your own to make before God. Are you going to believe God and His word? Are you going to return to God and do the things that He says? Are you going to repent of your sins and repent of your thoughts and ask God to help you change your life? Well, it does also center around which days you keep. Now, here in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." There must first be repentance, and repentance of sin, and sin is the transgression of the law of God. Sin is a transgression of the commandments of God. Sin is a transgression and breaking of the word of God. Sin is adding in your own ideas to the word of God. Sin is adding tradition to the word of God. Sin is the way that this world lives. Now let's continue. After you forsake your way and your thoughts, let him return to the Lord. How do you return to God? You return to him by worshiping him on the days that he has designated as the appointed times for you to do so. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't worship God every day and pray to him every day. None of that counts as a Sabbath, as some people believe. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now notice, when you return to God, you cease doing your own way. You cease believing your own religious thoughts, and you begin to understand what God has given. Well, that's what God has called us to do. Now think about it. He'll have mercy on you, and he will pardon you abundantly. And there are many examples in the Bible of how God forgives. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord." And that applies to the holy days of God. God has appointed them. God has set the time. It is in the very creation of the sun, moon, stars, and the earth. And that's what we need to understand when we begin studying about the holy days. They are the appointed times of God. Since we're going through the Passover and unleavened bread, you need to write for this book. This is a premier book. Now, I know we've advertised it many, many times on Church at Home, but this is not a pamphlet. This is a study book. Now, concerning the day Jesus the Christ died, you need to realize that before the foundation of the world, God selected the day on which Jesus Christ would die. And that day is determined not by the Roman calendar, but by the calculated Hebrew calendar, and that day, as we will see when we get to the New Testament, was on the Passover day. Now, that's important to understand. It just didn't happen at a time that men have determined, but at the time God had determined. And Jesus was raised from the dead after he was dead 3 days and three nights. Now, I want you to think on this for just a minute. A Friday crucifixion and a Sunday resurrection. I want you to take this up as a project. You figure three full days and three full nights from Friday at sunset to Sunday at sunrise. And then ask the question, what does Jesus Christ have to do with the pagan Babylonian goddess of Ishtar? Well, I think you're going to find these segments very interesting concerning the holy days of God and very important for you to understand. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone.